Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, hour number three of the radio showgram here on a rainy Wednesday in the DMV. Good to have you aboard until 4 o'clock. It is the Rooster, Cock-a-doodle-doo, Chris Russell with you. And AMAC on the other side of the glass. The DOC is an hour away with Burgundy and Gold today. All of our football talk and sports talk and general talk and conversation right here on the Team 980 is presented by our friends at Paramount Plus. Sly Stallone is back in the original hit series, Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built and to protect his empire. Stream the new season of Tulsa King on Sunday, September 21st, and it's exclusively available to you on Paramount Plus. You should always protect the empire at all costs. Protect the empire at all costs. Just like Sly Stallone is going to do on Paramount Plus, the Commanders need to protect Jaden Daniels. From himself, from everyone else, from another car collision. And he needs to protect himself. They don't need to change and make him a stationary pocket passer. They need to make him a more effective pocket passer. They need to dial up a playbook against pass rushes that they can't handle that gets the ball out in 2.25 seconds or less. What does that entail? It entails a lot of screens, smokes, slants. You can line up your receivers 3x1, 2x2, 4x, whatever you got to do. It's not that hard. Oh, and run the ball. Everybody failed. Everybody failed on Thursday night. Outside of Deebo Samuel, everybody failed. They failed Jaden. Jaden failed himself. The Commanders failed Jaden. It wasn't just, oh, nothing you can do. The Green Bay Packers are better. No. Not that. All right, coming up in about 10 minutes, Sam Acho of ESPN. What does he think about the Virginia Tech situation? And what does he make out of the dumb, stupid fiasco that is Tom Brady? Boy, I had some conversations yesterday with people around the league. They were just scoffing at the fact that people think this is a big deal. Just literally beside themselves. Like, what? What are you guys talking about? Wait. You guys think that Tom Brady is going to infiltrate some secret command war secret that the Commanders had for a different opponent and a different game a week and a half ago that coaches aren't going to see on tape? Get lost. That was one reaction of somebody I talked to in the league. Get lost. They were beside themselves. They could not believe that this was the tenor of the conversation. They were laughing. And they're right. Not a big deal. Conflict of interest, yeah. Lots of conflict of interest. I have conflict of interests as well. Not a big deal. Not a big deal at all. But I did ask Sam Acho about it When I talk to him this morning, you'll hear it in about 10 minutes. What's that? I'm sorry. Oh. All right, let's get to, sorry, I missed that, AMAC. My bad. Let's get Paulie in here, and then we'll get to Bill in Arlington and then the Mark and Largo show. What's up, Paulie? How are you?
Hell to the W, man.
Hell
to Rufio.
Yes,
Paulie. Rufio.
Yes, Paulie.
STFU. That's from G from the South. Sabah. STFU. That's from me. The hell are y'all talking about today, man? This is some of the worst commentary I've ever heard, man.
Really?
Really, man. Really. I mean, for every one good thing you might say two more dumb things, man.
Like, give me an example.
Come on. I'm tired of hearing about Taylor Heineke.
I don't care about that. Give me you're Taylor accusing Heineke me stuff, of saying, you know, one step forward and two steps back. Give me give me a specific example.
It's about me. You talk for 3 hours.
No, give me a specific example.
I'm
not going to let you do this. You came on and said every smart thing I say is followed up by two dumb things I said. Give me an example.
Anyways, like I said, this is crazy, man.
Get that gong ready, AMAC.
First of all, get the gong ready, AMAC. First of all, this is not just about Jaden Daniels, man. The man is playing football. This is a week-to-week league. This is a play-by-play league. You go out, you're not thinking about 5 years from now, 8 years from now. You're thinking about one play from now or the play that you on, all right? The man was under pressure the whole game, the whole game. And for you to say, well, he needs to see the other guy, no player on the field can see all 22 players on the field. It's the reason why the league banned crack back blocking, because you can't see everybody on the field at every different angle from the field, all right? But the man is not going to sit in the pocket and let Michael Parsons continuously blow his back out. Pause. And that's crazy. But pause. He's not. So if he's feeling the pressure, especially from the one guy that all night long was breathing down his neck, of course he's going to leave the pocket, because he's running for his life the whole night. So in tune, only thing you can do is try to, number one, get better on the offensive line,
yeah,
which they tried.
Right.
But you got to look at it like this, too. They tried to get better on paper.
Yes.
But when it came down to getting on the field, how often did that offensive line even practice together?
I wish there was somebody screaming about that.
Russell Kingsbury did the press conference, 2 weeks ago in preseason, and he was clearly irritated, not just about Terry not playing, but two of his starting offensive linemen is out, right? Your man Allegretti, he's going to regress every game he plays in. They need to make a move or think about either. I know when your man Cosby come back, he's going to the right, Coleman's going to the left. They might need to move Coleman over to the left now and play Chris Paul.
All right.
I don't know. But you got to make a move there. And then also, you got to help him better with the play calling, period. But for y'all to say that he don't need to run or he needs to be looking out for somebody in his peripheral vision and all, that's crazy. The man is playing football. Mm. You do what you got to do to win. And for Sabah to come in and come out, well, just run him into the ground and he won't get a second contract. Sabah, shut up. That's crazy. I love you, but that's crazy. Come on, man. This is football we playing out here, man. And if he was 100% and he got hurt.
All right, I had enough.
Yeah.
I can't handle it anymore. Bye, Pully. We had Doc crack it up in the bullpen. I could see Doc through the window. Look, he's right there. It's like he swallowed a canary. I mean, Doc is just laughing because he's on a little bit of delay listening on the Odyssey app. Doc is he's just got a smile like you wouldn't believe. Paulie is not understanding what I'm saying. Of course you can't see all 11 guys on the field. I didn't say that. But he's got to be able to see in the open field, instead of looking back or feeling or sensing Micah Parsons dragging him down from behind, He's got to be able to see the kid that torpedoed him, his knee. He's got to be able to see it. Got to be able to see it. You want to run in the open field, you got to be able to see it. And if you can't see it, you can't run in the open field, in my opinion. And yes, again, that is part of what makes these guys special. But you have to be smart. It's called football IQ. And he will get better. The question is will they get him before he gets better? And yes, he avoided major injury last year and maybe this year. It appears it's as mild or as moderate as you can probably get. It appears. But that doesn't mean the knee isn't compromised for more. If he does what happened last Thursday night, not once, but at least twice. And yes, Cliff Kingsbury's got to help. I don't know how all of those guys stood there on the sideline and said, yep, let's keep running the offense. Screw running the ball. Let's keep throwing intermediate pass after intermediate pass to stonehand receivers like Noah Brown. Let's keep doing it. Yeah, Jaden looks great. Looks super sharp. Looks super comfortable. I mean, crap. I don't know everything. I don't know a lot of things. I know something. I know common sense. A lot of people that don't use common sense in the world. Let's get to Bill in Arlington next up on the Team 980 before we break for Sam Acho. What's up, Bill? How are you?
Well, good. I'll be quick. It's a tough act to follow, hail to the P, particularly when he's attacking Dr. Sabah, but I'll keep it short.
Yes, I understand.
Thoughts. One, you were talking about Lamar and what the Ravens have done, and they haven't changed him. I agree with that. What they did do, though, is they went out and got a man-child for the backfield to run the ball and invested heavily in the offensive line. So you're protecting him by distracting the attention from him, and I think we got to be focused on that, which I think is kind of the point you're making. We can get better around him to put him in that situation
less frequently.
Good point.
Good point.
The second, here's the second point, and then I'll get off because I don't want to risk Paulie's wrath here.
Yeah, that's all right. You're smarter than Paulie.
And I don't know about that. I think he knows his football pretty well. Second point is, it is unbelievably scary to those of us that have been listening to this stuff go on for 20 years, the parallels between the conversation we're having right now and the conversation we had about Robert. And I think it's a totally different animal in terms of having the skills to play from the pocket and hopefully, you know, much more willingness to kind of adapt the style. Mm-hmm. But it is a scary conversation, and I feel like I just listened to it 3 or 4 years ago, and we know how that ended.
Interesting, Bill, and I've heard a lot of comparisons, and thank you. I appreciate the phone call. It's all right. We can bust Paulie's chops. Paulie busts our chops. We can bust his. I would say, there's some comparisons that are fair to Jaden and Robert. There are a lot that are unfair. One is personality and football IQ and I think common sense. The other is I think Jaden is competitive as bleep. I don't think he's reckless. I don't think. Sometimes it's going to appear that you're reckless on the football field. Again, I keep talking about the open field hit torpedo shot. First play of the fourth quarter. Sometimes it's going to appear that you're reckless. I don't think he was reckless in, hey, I'm just going to run through. I just don't think he saw him as he was sensing, seeing, whatever, looking back, you know, feeling, whatever. But my point is he's got to get better at seeing both. Recognizing, sensing both. Thinking that both could be there. It's like you don't go out into the ocean and think that you're not going to get hit by a wave. You have to know that it's coming. If you're thinking ahead, if you're thinking big picture, you're more likely to be prepared to handle adversity. That's what I'm saying. I wasn't saying he's got to see all 11 guys. Come on. Paulie's hyperbole as usual. All right, next up, ESPN, Sam Acho on Virginia Tech, on Tom Brady, and on a cool thing Allstate is doing to recognize some special college football players that deserve some recognition. Next on the Team 980, the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. Stay with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back here on the Team 980. Pleasure to be joined now by Sam Acho. Of course, you see him on ESPN, and you know him from his days at Texas and in the NFL and doing great work in the community as well. And he is a past All-State Werfel Award Trophy winner and here on behalf of All-State with us to talk about guys that don't get maybe enough shine off the football field for what they're doing. Sam, thanks for doing this, and thanks for all your community work and everything that you brought to the game, both on and off the field.
No, thank you so much. I'm excited to be here. I was smiling when you started to say the reason why I was here. Back in 2010, I was a winner and a recipient of the All-State Werfel Trophy, and I was a part of the All-State AFCA Good Works team. Right. But now 15 years removed from being a college athlete, and now obviously 5 years removed from being an NFL player, I still get a chance to shine a light on some of the work that the players are doing. And so this year's 2025 All-State AFCA Good Works team has a list of unbelievable and incredible athletes that not only do I get a chance to talk about and analyze as far as their play, but also them as humans get a chance to just shine a light on that.
Absolutely. And it's led by Oklahoma head coach Brett Venables and a number of different players. And we will obviously shine light as much as we can on them. I know I got to know Dylan Gibbons a couple of years ago from Florida State and Notre Dame and for all the great work that he had done. And you know, in radio and in media, as you know, right, while we're not football players, it's important for us to use our platform. Why is it important for athletes to use the platform besides the obvious, and how important is it to get involved with actual man hours and boots on the ground as opposed to just lending your name and lending money?
Yeah, I love that. So I think all of those things can be beneficial. Lending your name, your image, your likeness. We're seeing a lot of athletes using their NIL to benefit others, but it's also their time, their treasure, and their talents. Some players are part of this 2025 All-State AFCA Good Works team, like Michael Taft, who went to Texas, mm-hmm. who goes to Texas, and he's an All-American safety, a former walk-on, but he lost a friend to fentanyl. And all of a sudden, he, instead of just using his name, he's using his talents. Every tackle that Michael Taft makes at Texas, he's donating money, and people can join him to donate money to go to for fentanyl awareness, right? So it's like, hey, I'm not going to use my name. I'm going to use my talents. Chandler Rivers, who's a defensive back at Duke. He's from the Texas area. So yes, he goes to Duke. He's in Carolina doing his thing. But also every offseason in the summer, he goes back to where he's from in Texas and does summer camps. There are players who are doing stuff, fighting substance abuse, more other different types of substance abuse. And so for me, the benefit of players using their name, image, likeness, their time, their treasure, their talents, it just provides a light and a peace and a beacon of hope in a time where people don't have a lot of hope.
Yeah, I think that's so incredibly well said, because I mean, we judge kids and coaches and programs by wins and losses, right? And yes, that is important. That is ultimately what sports are all about. But you can win a lot of ways. You can win in a lot of different ways, and winning off the field is again, just as important as winning on the field sometimes.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, so I go back to my time in college. I'm smiling because I got a chance at Texas to go to a national championship, mm-hmm. to participate and play in a national championship. I got a chance. I had two sacks in the game, right? I played well. Our team didn't win, but it was like a great opportunity. But what the highlights of my college career weren't really on the field. It was the off the field work and maybe even recognition that I was able to get. I was a recipient of the All-State Werfel Trophy back in 2010. I was a part of the All-State AFCA Good Works team, and that is still a highlight of my career. We are one human. So people try to delineate and say, well, you're a football player. Man, you're in the media. It's like, no, I'm a human. And so the fact that I'm doing this work in the community, that's an overflow of who I am. It doesn't have to be like, well, I only do community work, or I only play football, or only in the classroom. No, I'm one human. And so I love the fact that we get a chance to highlight these players and Brent Venables, as you said, there's an honorary coach as well, because I'll say this, I got a chance to cover the Oklahoma Temple game last weekend
in Philadelphia
correct. At the Link. Right. Yep. And I didn't realize at the time, but in some of the research and prep, I didn't realize Brent Venables, his wife is fighting cancer. Mm-hmm. And there was, you know, I don't know exactly where it is right now, but there was a time where it wasn't looking so great, and not too long ago. And so to find out that he is the honorary captain for this All-State AFCA Good Works team in 2025, it reminds me that he is human. I went to Texas. Texas, Oklahoma, historically, and even now, are still rivals.
Yeah.
Yet I get a chance to root him on because now we're part of the same team. So when I talk about the All-State AFCA Good Works team, even the collaboration, first it was just the All-State AFCA Good Works team, a team of 22 players who are doing great work and highlighting their off-the-field work. Then there was there was the Werfel Trophy that was like the most prestigious award for community service. Well, 2 years ago or so, we decided to combine those awards because they're both trying to highlight the same thing. But once again, we're one human. So instead of trying to be diverted and distracted, what if we could just focus all that energy on the players and their work? So now Allstate decided to join teams with AFCA, but also with the Werfel Trophy to form the Allstate Werfel Trophy. So players can go, or anyone who's listening can go to ESPN.com/Allstate. They can be a part of the action. They can learn about the players, but they can also vote on who they think should be the captain, and whoever's that captain is going to win the All-State Werfel Trophy. So I get really excited about it because I know the impact it had on my life back when I was a collegiate athlete.
Absolutely. Sam Acho with us. Before we run out of time, I have a couple of quick hitters for you, if you don't mind. There's been a big controversy in broadcasting, and I figured you would be perfect to ask this. Tom Brady, you know, his role with the Las Vegas Raiders in the broadcast booth. You broadcast games, as you mentioned, you were in Philadelphia, Oklahoma Temple, as part of your ESPN duties. How much information are you asking for getting? Is there trade secrets? Is it confidential, or is it just background stuff? And is it really that big of a deal?
Well, it depends. Everyone's different. Some people go to meetings like that and they feel like, well, I have all the context that I need because I've done my research. I've watched film. Some coaches aren't going to divulge anything, so they don't see it as a big use of their time. Other people get a ton of information. Sometimes coaches and staff coordinators can be more vulnerable and more honest and share more in a meeting like that because they know that it's not the media trying to share different things. It's just them inside that intimate circle. So there could be a conflict of interest with a guy like Tom Brady who's in the owner's box or who's listening to the plays and talking to Chip Kelly while also going to interview other teams and their coaches and coaching staff. But I would say if I'm a coordinator for a different team or a coach for a different team, and I know that Tom Brady is going to potentially share that information with the Raiders, then I may not divulge any or as much information to him during that meeting.
I could completely agree. And it is a conflict of interest, but you got to be careful and smart in every way. Just before we run out of time, if you don't mind, Virginia Tech off to a terrible start. They're our local, you know, we're a flagship station. They fired Brent Pry, which not exactly surprising. You know, there's a lot of big names there. Would you, if you're Virginia Tech, would you go with an established coach, or would you look at a big name like a Michael Vick who just started head coaching, or D'Angelo Hall who's been an NFL assistant coach? How would you kind of approach that search?
I would approach the search with the reminder of who Virginia Tech is. Mm-hmm. And when I was growing up, Virginia Tech was, I'm not going to say the program, but one of the premier programs in college football. So I would remind myself that that's who we are, and then I would approach the search in that way. And I'm not saying that means you have to get someone who's been established, right? Maybe Michael Vick is the answer. I think about a guy like Coach Prime. Coach Prime had been coaching for decades. Mm-hmm. He didn't publicize it, but that's why you saw the success that he had at Colorado even last year, and that he's had in bringing some top-level recruits. I would be – yeah, so anyways, that's – I would just remember – how impressive of a program that Virginia Tech is. And I wouldn't think so much of how the struggles have happened recently. I'll go back to, man, we have so much talent in this, you know, in this kind of area, right? The DMV, and try to keep that talent local.
Maybe you could bring Shane Beamer back home. Maybe. We will see. Sam, I know you got to run. I appreciate your great work on behalf of Allstate and the Werfel Trophy and everything that you and this team has put together. People can check out more at ESPN, right? ESPN.com, I should say, /Allstate?
Correct. Correct. That's right. Yeah. Go to ESPN.com/Allstate, because not only to learn more, but I love getting involved, right? So if you want to get involved, you can actually go and you can vote on who you think should be the captain and who could win that Allstate Werfel Trophy like I won back in 2010, like Tim Tebow won the year before.
Attaboy. Thank you, Sam. Appreciate you doing this. We'll be watching you on ESPN and obviously sending everybody to ESPN.com/Allstate. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right, Sam Acho on behalf of Allstate. Appreciate them making him available. And I didn't get to ask him which game he'll be on this weekend, but I'm sure he'll be on one of the games on the family of ESPN and ABC. He was in Philly at Lincoln Financial Field for Oklahoma Temple last week. Didn't get to ask him about Maryland and Wisconsin. That's a game Maryland's got to win. Wisconsin was terrible last week. It's a game Maryland's got to win, even in Madison this week. Did answer about Virginia Tech. Identifying your roots. They tried to do that with Brent Pry. If they can get Shane Beamer, you get Shane Beamer. They should consider D'Angelo Hall. First time head coach. But D'Angelo Hall's been a pro coach now for 4 years, 3 years. And he is got Virginia Tech in his blood. He has Virginia Tech in his blood. I think that would be a smart idea to consider. All right, on the Team 980, we continue a long time for a trending alert, and then the Mark and Largo show before the Doc in Walker show on the Team 980. All right, baseball coming up, scheduled at 4:05. The Atlanta Braves looking for the four-game sweep over the Washington Nationals as they play out the string. Actually, both franchises playing out the string. It's Brad Lord on the mound for the Nats. Scheduled first pitch at 4:05. Looks like the tarp is off the field, and we should have an on-time start. But weather is expected to be somewhat of a factor today as they try and close out the series. Again, Braves looking for the four-game sweep. Elsewhere, Major League Baseball, the Cubs doubling up the Pirates 8-4. In the bottom of the eighth, Cincinnati over St. Louis, 6-2 in the eighth. The Orioles have a 3-1 lead over the White Sox in Chicago in the fifth, and all the rest of the action still to come. Meanwhile, from Command Land in Ashburn, busy day out there. No Jaden Daniels at practice, amongst other veteran players, including Zach Ertz and Bobby Wagner. Meanwhile, Jonathan Jones put on injured reserve. He injured a hamstring in Thursday night's loss. The team officially brought back Preston Smith, who was a free agent and was a 2015 second-round pick of the then Redskins. As well, we are awaiting the final vote confirmation. D.C. City Council on the RFK Stadium project after an 11th-hour snafu, as it was described and as we talked about much earlier in the show. But according to Mark Seagraves of NBC4, through Phil Mendelson, everything seems to be okay. And now the voting process we await, and it would be a scheduled final vote and final confirmation that the Commanders will build a new stadium at the current RFK Stadium site, and that's what's trending.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a story I just posted. Schefter posted it. It's from Courtney Cronin of ESPN, who covers the Bears, but, I mean, she's probably going to be the host of First Take coming up once Molly Kiram officially leaves. It says, Ben Johnson isn't worried about divulging information that can be used against the Bears. When he participates in production meetings with Tom Brady and the Fox broadcast crew ahead of Sunday's game against the Cowboys. Now, why is that important? Because Ben Johnson and the Bears play the Raiders in Week 4. Tom Brady partially owns the Raiders, speaks to Chip Kelly 2 to 3 times a week. As we know, was on the headsets on Monday night. This is the biggest waste of story, waste of time. Wait, just something to yell about. Something for Mad Dog to get all upset about on Stevie's show that nobody watches. If you hate Tom Brady, this is a big story. Many of you do. I don't know why, but many of you do. If you use common sense, theme of this show and every show, you know it's not a big deal. Again, I talked to people yesterday around the league. They scoffed. They laughed. Not just people that are here. They laugh. Trust me. And I'll tell you this. I can't divulge everything that I talked about and who I talked with. But if you guys think that the Commanders are that dumb that they're giving out trade secrets to Tom Brady before they play the New York Giants 2 weeks ago? I mean, come on, people. Who are we kidding? You don't give a rat's ass about the television product. It's just mind-boggling some of the things that we supposedly should get fired up about. When we get fired up about James Woods striking out 2,000 times. When we get fired up about that. Oh, instead, not a big deal. Nothing to see here. Nothing to worry about. He's got long arms. When we get fired up about that. Let's get to the Mark and Largo show. Before Dum Dum of the Day and before we turn it over to the DOC. Did I say something funny, Mark?
You've been waiting 2 days to say this crap. hey, Cliff.
Yes.
Hey, before I get started, some idiotic person's having a birthday on Sunday, and the only thing I remember about this person is he was born in 73, which happens to be the year the Exodus came out. But actually, he's actually a good person. But I wonder what that person's going to be doing for his, his 25th birthday come Sunday, which, by the way,
is the last home game that they'll be playing at 1 o'clock.
Well, so here's what how I'm going to counter. What if that person's 25th birthday is actually on Friday?
Damn. God damn. That son of a gun's going to be turning 25 on Friday the 19th. Oh, yeah. Boy.
Time to update the files on the Mark and Largo show.
Yeah. Well, that's true. That's a first. But it is true that they're not having another 1 o'clock game until they play Dallas on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
I know what everybody is saying about how this team is. I don't think Jaden should change the way he plays. I do agree with you. He needs to be a little bit more aware of what's going on. But Chris, more importantly, Chris needs to run the damn ball more. I mean, look. Jaden deserves 50% of this, but Chris deserves the other 50%. And I'm sorry. I mean, you can't beat Green Bay or Philadelphia sitting back and throwing 48 to 50 times. That's not going to happen. It's not going to work. You've got to run the ball. And I think if you run the ball, then you can – if you're running the ball 20 to 25 times, you know how deadly we would be? Because everybody would be worried about him running. Then you would have, Merritt or Rodriguez running, and they would get bigger holes. So I think it would work out. Now, a lot of people may be upset, a la, you know, Debo because he's playing for a contract, Terry because he's trying to make some quota. And I get it, and I understand that, but it's about winning. And I think if they do that, I think they'll be fine. I'm not going to get and another thing I want to say, hell to the W. That's a monster to Paulie because I think Paulie is a damn good call.
Yeah.
I also love Sabah. I love her passion, but I do think sometimes she hangs on the tail of Heineke a little bit too much.
Yes. You think?
yeah. But I understand where Paulie's coming from, but Paulie's got to stop attacking people because he's been attacking me a couple of times.
Yeah.
And I love Paulie. I'm not going to respond back to Paulie. I'm going to respond back in love because I love Paulie. And I know Paulie's he's just playing off of everybody. And I just don't think that's a good thing.
Well, Paulie thinks he's the smartest person in the room. And he's got some good opinions, but he ain't the smartest person in the room.
Yes, he does. He's got some great opinions. He's got some great opinions.
I agree.
Hey. Great show. See, I ended on a good note, didn't it?
There you go.
Go off like I normally do.
The Mark and Largo Show. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you. Always good to hear from you. Khalil Mack has been officially put on injured reserve for the Chargers. That means he is not going to be eligible to play against the Commanders 2 weeks from this Sunday in Los Angeles. Because you got to miss four games. That would only be game number 3 of 4. So Khalil Mack officially out of that game. Raheem Morris, my guy, love Raheem, called Bijan Robinson next Sunday's running back opponent for the Commanders. Definitely the best player in football. Interesting. I drafted Bijan a year too early, and I couldn't get him this year. Because in both of my leagues, including the show league, I had like the 10th plus pick. All right. There you go. All right, the DOC is coming up next. He's got his stuff in here already. He's got a little lunch. He is getting ready to entertain, to wine and dine you for the next 3 hours. But first, we have to get Dumb Dumb of the Day. And I'm determined to get out of here on time to make Anthony Haney happy. That's next on the Team 980, streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. All right, everybody, the DOC coming up next. Burgundy and Gold today. That's right. So, we all know that the temperature has been turned up in the last week politically And because of the tragedy that occurred in Utah with Charlie Kirk and all that stuff, and we don't talk a lot of politics and whatever. But there was a man that we featured last week on Dumb Dumb of the Day that was originally accused, thought to be, the man who shot and killed, ultimately, Charlie Kirk. He was not. You know that there's all sorts of stuff going on with that. Not going to get involved in that. However, what we found out was, well, the gentleman is not exactly innocent. Nope. Trying to find it here. Hang on one second. I just had it, and for whatever reason, my computer, here it is. So this was not the guy in Toronto that was 2,000 miles away. This was a gentleman who was being led away in handcuffs. George Zinn, 71 years old. He was thought to be, because he distracted the authorities and said he did it, he was thought to be the initial shooter. However, he was not. But he was arrested and charged with obstruction of justice. Then he let authorities search his phone. He said to authorities, he uses his phone to view child sex abuse material. So then the authorities checked his phone, and he was charged with 4 counts of sexual exploitation of minors. So imagine being so dumb, that you are at this event, someone gets assassinated, you claim and try to distract police from doing their job and from public safety and say, I did it, even though you weren't carrying a weapon, and said, quote, I shot him, now shoot me. And then you said, here's my phone. Oh, yeah, by the way, I've been watching minors in pornography on my phone. Imagine being as dumb as this person is. Imagine being 71-year-old George Zinn. First of all, what a horrible person. Secondly, you cannot be any dumber than this human being. Let me repeat. It is almost impossible, virtually impossible, to be dumber than George Zinn. In so many ways. And I hate glorifying this, but this is the crap that we are expected to live in, that we are expected to be among, that we are expected to have civility towards. Nope. They might want to do something a little bit stronger like they do in Utah, just saying. George Zinn, 71 years old. Here, it's me. I did it. Shoot me. Apparently has been a distraction to Utah police many other times. Here, check out my phone. Oh, by the way, you're going to see some things with minors on there. I'm 71, but you're going to see some things sub 18. Yeah. This guy. And now we've got to pay for him to rot in jail? Welcome to America, people. Welcome to America. All right, the DOC is next. Thanks to Sam Acho of ESPN for joining us. If you missed that conversation on Tom Brady, that role and that issue, and the Virginia Tech coaching search, you want to check it out in the podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast, including the free Odyssey app. If you missed any of the show, Jaden Daniels, RFK, and everything in between, check it out. AMAC's got it covered up. cut up for you every day, every hour, every segment. We'll see you tomorrow for a final show of the week at 1 o'clock right here on the Team 980. Thanks to AMAC. Doc's up next. Adios.
Thank you.
Yeah, you can go sit down, Russo. Goodbye.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.